All right, here we go. It's first stop here on this Thursday morning in the beautiful city of Scarborough, Ontario. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. I'm feeling good today, Coco. I don't know. Sometimes you wake up, you're in a good mood. Very rarely happens to me.
Yeah.
As 20 fingers, cheese, a rod could attest to, I am a miserable prick 95% of the time. But today...
Not the best.
Louis Domingue also agrees. Today, feeling good.
It's great to see you. I've noticed.
Great to see you.
You're bouncing off of the walls in here. You're jumpy. You've got a lot of energy. And like usually I'm the same way, too. Like... You know, you get in, you get up, you hear your 4:30 alarm, and you're like, God, I just wish I could sleep.
It's a jarring sound.
A little bit longer. And it takes you a while to get up. But then once you get in here and, you know, you start waking up and processing everything, you start to wake up a little bit. And I don't know if it's like me and you talked about, you know, I had a crazy day yesterday, just nonstop till about 9:30 last night until we finally chatted because I was just occupied in other things at home. And I got to bed like really early last night, which is probably why I feel a little bit more energized this morning. Like I'm usually almost impossible for me on a regular night to get to bed before 11:30.
Because you want to sit and watch sports and see what happens, right?
Yeah, like usually I just stay up, watch sports, and then after the, you know, the 7 o'clock games are over, that's when I start to accumulate all my information. And, you know, you're reading Twitter, you're reading emails, and you're starting to, you know, jot things down, and your brain's wired. And then you'll turn on the TV and something intriguing will be on. You'll be like, oh, I got to watch this a little bit longer, and you get dialed in. And the worst is like when you catch like a hockey game that's like going back and forth and you can't go to sleep because you want to watch the shootout or the overtime, whatever it is. But last night, man, like, it was hard for me to pay attention to anything during the day because I was just so busy. And then, you know, I got to bed. By the time I hit my bed, it was just before 10 o'clock. And I literally started to scroll through my phone to say, okay, what happened in the night sports? And before it was over, I was out cold. And you even said it was one of those nights where... First time in a long time, I actually slept through the night my alarm.
That, like, literally never, ever happened.
Never.
It's probably because the Raptors and Lakers game was so incredibly boring. It's just like, wow, it's like visual melatonin.
Right, it was.
And it was a joke last night. Like, LeBron and Anthony Davis didn't play. I mean, they were so incredibly bad, the Lakers.
So,
I was so pissed off watching that. Oh,
and they were. And I was reading or listening to the radio on the way in. I think it's the first time all season the Raptors have led wire to wire, and the first time all season that the Lakers have trailed wire to wire.
So I was thinking about this as this game tipped off, and I'm like, wow, I'm not even going to bother. Obviously, the Raptors are going to slaughter these guys. I think they won by, I don't know, 20, 25, whatever the final score was.
13 they won by.
Oh, they only won by 13? Yeah. Maybe probably the Lakers scrubs versus the Raptors scrubs. It all just kind of balanced out. If you're going to that game, let's say you're taking Gina and Mia and Leo down to the game, and of course you want the Raptors to win. Would you rather a result like that, where Davis and LeBron don't play, the Raptors crush them, or would you rather LeBron hits a game-winning buzzer beater in the final seconds, the Raptors lose, but at least you saw a very entertaining game?
Yeah, I'm always up for the entertaining game.
Me too, not even close.
Unless it's playoffs. Like playoffs.
Oh, of course. This is like, you know, the Raptors, sure, it's the 25th game of the season for the Raptors. You want them to win, but I would much rather see the Raptors lose in a nail-biter than see
thriller.
Lonnie Walker IV and Austin Reeves out there for 35
well,
minutes.
The thing you should be more upset about for yesterday is, you know, people that went to that game probably circled it as, oh, the Lakers are coming to town. I want to go watch LeBron James play. And, you know, you pay probably a little bit of extra money because of that, and you go to the game, he doesn't even play. And it just got me thinking, like, we've praised LeBron James for years about how good this guy plays year to year, game to game, and what type of a specimen this guy is because he plays so much in a game and rarely ever is injured. Rarely ever. Like, this guy, for the longest time, every year, was playing every game and playing 30-plus minutes in every game. And, like, you see why he's missing yesterday's game. Like, he played the night before, sore ankle.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like, is the reason why he can't play?
It's a load management thing, obviously. If there's a playoff game, LeBron would be
so stupid.
Well, it's not stupid. It's, again, he's old. He has played more minutes in his NBA career than anybody else has ever.
Which is why I just said, you know, I can't believe
nobody's played more minutes.
This guy's body just doesn't break down for some reason.
I think for the long haul,
sore ankle is keeping you out of the lineup.
Well, I think it also was part due to AD not playing. I think if Davis was playing, LeBron might have played too, and they would have taken a run at the Raptors.
Wouldn't that be more of a reason for him to play?
Maybe, but I mean, it's second half of a back to back for the Lakers. No Anthony Davis against a rested Raptors team at home.
I know, but it just seems like sports is heading in a very. What's the word I'm looking for?
Precarious.
Like precarious is a great word.
Yes.
Precarious situation, because as we're seeing in baseball, and man, the money being thrown away in baseball for 30
thrown away or thrown out?
Thrown out, thrown away, thrown at. You know, Xander Bogaerts is 30 years old and gets an 11-year deal.
$280 million.
Like, this guy's getting paid $25 million for the next 11 years. He's going to be 41 years old and be making $25 million. And then you look at a league like the NBA, where these players make absurd amount of money. And if they don't feel like playing one game, they get the night off.
The great players do, yeah.
To me, it's like, what are you paying these guys for? Isn't that why you pay them this amount of money, is so that they're able to give you as many games as possible?
No, it's not.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Well, it's ridiculous if, you know, you... I don't really know. This has been an age-old debate.
You get up one morning and you go to the trainer and say, yeah, you know what, man, I'm tired. I think I need the night off. Why?
Because it's all about...
We're paying you $30 million. You know what? You should be a fine-tuned, well-oiled machine to be able to absorb this type of schedule, this type of, you know, of playing time. Where, hey, you know what? We're paying you this amount of money. Find a way to play.
If this was a home game for the Lakers last night, LeBron's probably playing.
But that's even worse, because... You talk about selling your stars. Like, this is a problem for the NBA. And this is my biggest problem with the NBA, is that they allow these players to get load management games, but they're still, like, they don't miss any pay for that. These guys are paying $40, $50 million a year, and they don't feel like playing one game because they're tired and get the night off. Well, who suffers with that?
Fans.
The paying customer who goes to watch those guys play. So now, do the fans get a discount on those tickets?
They should. They should. The fans should get load managed with like five beers each.
That's what I mean.
After being subjected to watch it. Listen,
I'm sorry, the NBA, I completely agree. You want to go out and demand this type of money? Unless you're seriously hurt with an injury, there's no excuses.
Now, we should say we have not done a thorough medical analysis on LeBron James or Anthony Davis. We don't necessarily know exactly what's going on. Maybe LeBron misses the next couple of games and he actually is injured. So... Yeah, that's a possibility. And this is something the NBA has dealt with for many, many years. Remember the San Antonio Spurs?
Yeah, for the primetime game on TNT, they rested all five of their
starters. All their guys are like, yeah, we're mailing this game in. This is a schedule loss. We're not interested in taxing our players anymore. That's just how we're going to operate. The Lakers have two more games on this East Coast road trip than they're back home. So this was their decision. They're like, they looked at the schedule. Davis is out. They're like, all right, LeBron, you're going to take a seat. We'll get you ready for the next game. It's a joke. I completely agree, but it's something that I don't see a resolution to, because the NBA has tried so many different things, right? They have tried to alter the way they did alter the way the lottery balls are done in the draft. So teams who have the worst record it's basically equivalent. The bottom three records are all the same as far as the draft lottery balls. They have adjusted the schedule somewhat for more home and homes to make it more balanced. So they're trying. But at some point in time, like last night as an example, it was just a perfect spot for the Lakers to look at LeBron and be like, buddy, just relax tonight. Go hang out with Drake and Adonis post game, and we'll see you next game. And that's probably just exactly how they looked at it. It sucks, though.
And this is what should have happened yesterday. What if the paying customers for that game, because it was announced at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock that LeBron James and Anthony Davis weren't playing that game?
Yeah.
What if the Raptor fans yesterday just said, screw this, I'm not going? Now, you have a paying ticket, so that's why you want to go. But what do you do if you're the NBA if the fans start sending that type of message?
It's not going to happen, though. Because
I know it's not going to happen, but something needs to happen. It's a bad look. It's a bad precedent that's being sent in the NBA, especially with their fans. Like, fans pay their hard earning money, you know, to go watch these games, to watch these superstars that come to their cities play in these games, and well, my ankle is sore.
Yeah.
Like, you serious?
I know. You know what the Raptors fans should have done last night? Went to Columbus, drove down there, and saw one of the most electric offensive performances of the NHL season. We'll tell you about that on the other side. And man, called the Colorado Avalanche, they got some serious issues. And Mitch Marner goes for blackjack 21 tonight at home against the LA Kings. You can hear that on TSN 1050. We are off and running here on this Thursday morning edition of First Up. We'll be back after this. Oh, yeah. Give me some of those tunes. Welcome back to First Up.
Before the break, we were talking about some of the unbelievable performances in the NHL last night, one including a guy in Buffalo by the name of Tage Thompson.
Rage Thompson.
Rage Thompson. I'm glad you brought up Rage, because have you seen the preview of this movie that's coming out, Cocaine Bear?
I have.
He's basically raging.
He is raging.
When he dives into the cocaine.
There's a lot of cocaine consumed by
that bear. A lot of cocaine. Yeah. And I'm wondering, waking up this morning, if the NHL was on cocaine last night.
I'm sure some players were after the game.
Dude, did you see some of the scores in the NHL last night? There was 57 goals scored in 7 games. That's an average of 8.1 goals per game. It was outrageous. So some of the scores we saw.
Buffalo scored 9-4 final. Buffalo over Columbus. We'll get to Tage Thompson in just a second. Calgary wins 5-3. Edmonton puts up an 8th spot against Arizona, which should surprise no one. That was an obvious point night for the Oilers. McDavid with 4 points in that game.
He's up to 50 already. He's got 50 points.
In what, 26 games?
I'll look that up right now.
The Rangers put up 5 on Vegas, and Vancouver beat San Jose 6-5. So maybe there was some cocaine being done by the NHL players.
It's ridiculous.
That's a reasonable explanation.
And Vancouver wins again in overtime, and Elias Pettersson scores again in overtime. Like, they are secretly, like, quietly coming back to life.
Slowly. Very slowly.
And, like, all this talk about firing everybody over there, I look today, they're in a playoff spot.
Vancouver's in a playoff spot right now?
I'm going to look that up now.
They are close. I saw they were close yesterday. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, they are in a playoff spot right now. And good on them. I mean, you talk about, you know, turning things around. You know, for everything that they've gone through, it's pretty remarkable to see. Yeah, they are tied for the last playoff spot right now with Colorado.
Yeah, we'll get into Colorado in just a second. But Tage Thompson last night, the story in the National Hockey League, he scores 4 goals in the first period.
First 16 minutes.
And he had an assist as well. And these weren't like tap-in goals or like junk goals. He was rifling home some laser beams on the power play. Some beauties. He actually scored again in the second period as well. So he finished with 5.
Yeah.
And you look back in the last 20 years, that's a very rare accomplishment. Mika Zibanejad did it. Johan Franzen did it.
Mm-hmm.
Marian Gaborik did it. Those are the only 3 others in the last 20 years to score 5 goals in a game. So what Tage Thompson did was pretty unprecedented. You wonder if Daryl Sittler is sitting there in the second period at his place in Toronto be like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it's my
relax, Tage.
And, you know, at the pace they were scoring at, too, you just, you know, you wondered, is tonight going to be a night where we could potentially see 10 points be scored? When you got 5 in the first period, that's usually a good chance.
On good pace.
And, you know, he gets one more. They win 9-4 in what was a hell of an exciting game. But Tage Thompson, 26 games, 40 points.
Wow.
He's 4th in the league in scoring.
Well, 6-point night, I should say, helps out that cause a lot.
Well, McDavid had 4 points. He's got 27 games, 52 points. That's almost 2 points a game he's got right now.
Wow.
So we talked about what he could, like, are we talking about 150 points that McDavid could potentially
get
this
year? He's on pace for around that, yeah. Like, wouldn't that be remarkable?
That was his sixth 4-point game this year already.
Guy's a machine. Games against Arizona. That's like playing the AHL team.
Did you see him and Draisaitl? Draisaitl made a backhand pass yesterday that makes Pavel Datsyuk.
I saw that.
That puts him to shame.
So, quickly, I want to play some audio from Tage Thompson. You'd think he scored 5 goals and an assist, 6 points. You're just jacked up. Your team wins 9-4.
Don't tell me he's like, oh, yeah, just another game.
Here's Thompson on making Sabres history.
Yeah, it's definitely a rewarding feeling. You spend a lot of years working to get to this point, and to be rewarded for it is it's a pretty good feeling. And I think it leaves you hungrier. You know, you want more from yourself. You know you're capable of it now, and I think it's just something I'm excited for. You get a night like this, and now you just want to continue to grow and continue to test yourself. So.
Okay,
Dude, you have to be a little bit more excited, man.
Here's how I would have responded if I was Tage to answer that question. Bang! That's right, boys. 5 goals. Show me the money, Buffalo.
Bang!
Thanks for that contract.
Yeah.
Oh, Columbus, you're a joke.
That contract's looking
10.
Pretty good right now.
No kidding. You know? That was a wild one from Tage Thompson, man.
But, I mean, this is a guy that scored 38 goals in 78 games last year. He's got 21 and 26 right now.
It's like Jason Robertson. It's got kind of the same type of progression where Robertson, I think, scored 41 last year with Dallas, and he's got up to 23 already. Man, the Rocket Richard race is something special this
cocaine
season.
Cocaine hockey.
Cocaine. It's the 80s once again.
I don't get it, man.
In a multitude of respects.
Like, are we talking about hockey evolving into a game where there's just the players are becoming too good?
So I'm really glad you brought this up because I have this written down for my notes for Mike Johnson. He'll join us in about 90 minutes. I was looking back in 2017, there were 9 point-a-game players in the NHL. 9. And that rose to...
So that's 6 years, 5 years ago.
5 years ago, there were 9 point-a-game players to finish the season after 82 games.
Uh-huh.
The last couple of years after that, it went to like the high teens, the mid-20s. Last year, it jumped to 44 players who were
point a game.
This year, there are 57 players right now who are averaging at least 1 point a game, including Tage Thompson, obviously, including Connor McDavid. I just am struggling to figure out why the scoring has increased so much in the NHL. This is great for the league, by the way, I should mention. I'm not complaining. It's just odd to see how many players are producing statistically more so than they were even 5 years ago. That's a massive jump. You're talking about a 500% increase in the number of players who are averaging 1 point per game.
Well, last year, we had 8 players break the century point. And JT Miller was 99. You have to think there's going to be 10 plus more players.
15. I mean,
that reaches a century point. Like, we're talking about 100 points. That's usually what the leading goal scorer or point scorer in the league should be getting every year. Not 10, 15 guys, which means, you know, it's hockey's becoming a better league for players and a worse league for goalies.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a goaltender these days. Like, unless you're Matt Murray. Unless you're Matt Murray, it's
well,
all good.
Look, as great as Matt Murray is playing, let's be honest. Do you believe this is going to last?
A 933 save percentage? No. But I think he's going to be good if he's healthy. You got to add that caveat with Murray.
I hope he is.
Let's get into the Leafs on the other side because they do play host to the LA Kings. Mitch Marner's looking for 21 game point streak, and he's inching closer to that. Sidney Crosby, he's modern, quote unquote, modern record of 25, where he scored 50 points in that 25 game point streak back 2010. 2011. We'll look into that game.
Marner's got a 20-game point streak. Where do you think he sits right now in the top of the league rank-wise for points?
You know what? Why don't we find out the answer to that next? Car back on First Stop. Rolnick and Koliakovo. The Leafs.
Shenanigans. This is shenanigans that go on.
Yeah, you're saying just some outrageous things. Outrageous! But not as outrageous as Mitch Marner's 20-game point streak, which looks to continue tonight. He looks to continue it tonight against the LA Kings, a team with a subpar penalty kill. Maybe Marner could find a way to get one on the PP, and the way that the PP's been looking lately, that's a distinct possibility. We'll get into that with Bet and Breakfast a little bit later. But this LA Kings team, they've already beaten the Leafs earlier this season. They're a good team, and they're actually a high-scoring team. Generally, you think about the Kings as kind of a grinded out, low-scoring, defensively-oriented hockey club, but that's not really how they are anymore. I mean, they score a lot of goals. Their goaltending is questionable. Jonathan Quick, I think he's past his prime. That's not exactly a stretch to say, but I'm sure he'll be in goal tonight. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Well, the LA Kings have 97 goals scored on the season. I believe that puts them in second or third in the league. And the Maple Leafs have 83 goals scored in the league. Wow. The Buffalo Sabres lead the league in goals for.
Oh,
that's got to be inflated.
Well, 9-9 last night helps out.
Wow. Interesting. But yeah, look, this LA Kings team, I think they're a team that surprised a lot of people last year when they made the playoffs. I think they surprised themselves when they couldn't beat the Edmonton Oilers in the first round, losing in Game 7 to them. And you look at the offseason that they had. You know, they go out and spend money. They bring in Kevin Fiala. And they're relying on a lot of their youth to take that next step. And so far, it's been working pretty good for them.
And you have like some of the old guard from the LA Kings, the glory days, the teams that you played against.
Kopitar,
right? Quick, Doughty. Doughty's having a big year. He's playing 26 minutes a night. I think he's got 18 points in 25 games.
Yeah.
He has not lost a step. He's still a top defenseman in the National Hockey League.
Right.
It's going to be a good one tonight. I'm really looking forward to this one.
I think it is too. You know, the Maple Leafs are coming off a really impressive road win against one of the league's best Western Conference teams in the Dallas Stars. And you know, should want some revenge against the LA Kings, who took it to them last time they played.
So we talk a lot about Mitch Marner's point streak, and rightfully so. It's an unbelievable accomplishment. It's a franchise record. It's something that is very rarely seen in the NHL at all these days. But how about this point, this streak that the Toronto Maple Leafs as a team are on? They have a point in 12 straight games now. The franchise record for the Maple Leafs is 16 games set during the 2003-2004 season, which I guess you were probably part of the team.
Yeah.
You were up and down in the minors.
2003-2004, that was the year before the lockout. I was up and down in the minors.
But I think what that speaks to, as great as Marner's individual accomplishment is, and it's not individual, of course, his teammates contribute to that as well, but the Leafs are on a prolific tear of their own. And I think it's almost overshadowed by what Marner's doing individually, but a point in 12 straight games is something significant. And again, the franchise record is 16. So the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are 9-0-3 in their last 12 games, and we talk about the OT losses and how they're 1-6 in overtime, which is frustrating and kind of confounding, to be frank.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, but they are racking up the points. And you look at the standings, it's going to be tough to catch the Boston Bruins considering the way they've started the season and how they continue to play. They went 4-0 last night as well. But Toronto's been as good as anybody in the NHL, save the Bruins, since November 1st.
Mm-hmm.
The second best record in the NHL. This is a team that has found something and are playing excellent, excellent hockey. And I think that is the streak we should be talking about just as much as Marner's.
Well, look, I mean, you can't you can't not take notice of the team success that they're having. Clearly, Marner is leading the individual success, but the team success, I believe in their last 18 games, they've only had one regulation loss. And remember early on in the season, you know, they were losing games to Montreal, they were losing games to Anaheim, San Jose, and there was a couple of games in their first 10 games where, you know, it looked like they were going to get a point and maybe take it into overtime, and then they lose with like less than 2 minutes left and come out with nothing. And the argument was, you know, the good teams in the league, they find a way, even when they're not at their best, to grind out a point instead of walking away with nothing. And I think that's what this team has learned, is that, like, look, like, you're not going to win every game. It's just never going to happen. No team in NHL history, or even sports history, will ever go perfect. Maybe in the NFL, we'll see it one more time because they play 17 games. But in hockey, if you're not going to win every game and you can try to find a way to get the loser point, as most people describe it as, those add up. You talked about, you know, them, Boston running away. That Boston has two games in hand, but they're only 5 points up on the Maple Leafs. And you wouldn't think that considering how good the Boston Bruins have started this
14
season.
14 straight home wins,
right?
Whatever it was.
So that's what you got to focus on. You know, not every game's going to be perfect. You're not always going to be your best. But in the games you're not at your best and you're not perfect, if you can find a way to grind out that extra point and maybe have a better overtime record, think how much better they could possibly be.
I'm just watching the highlights here in the studio of Boston's 4-0 win. Are you aware of what Linus Allmark's record is in goal for Boston?
I did see that
the
other day.
15-1 this season.
Yeah.
The guy is Justin Verlander on skates.
Well, when your team is 21-3, chances are
crazy,
one of your goaltenders
man.
Are going to have a stat like that.
Yeah,
right?
That's something special. Linus Allmark. I don't think, you know, how too many people bet on him to win
We talked about the Buffalo Sabres and their 9-goal outburst and how they lead the NHL in goals for. Linus Allmark was a Buffalo Sabre 3 years ago.
Well, and we have talked about this so many times, how the team in front of you is a direct reflection on sometimes your goaltending performance.
Mm-hmm.
And for Linus Allmark, Jeremy Swayman, I mean, those guys are having incredible years in front of an amazing Boston team. So Linus Allmark was always regarded as a talented guy in Buffalo, right? But he goes over to Boston, and this guy's having a legendary season.
And they brought him in when Tuukka Rask was potentially still there. And now between him and Swayman, they've created a pretty formidable, you know, tandem between those two. And you know, look, there's so many reasons you can point to Boston's early season success. New coach, play of the goaltenders, play of their star players. At the end of the day, they're a really good team. And so are the Maple Leafs. And the Maple Leafs tonight, back in action against the LA Kings, should be a fun one tonight. And there's going to be a lot of attention on Mitch Marner again, you know, because
rightfully so.
Fans going to the game. And they don't care if there's going to be a win or a loss. Yeah, obviously they'd want them to win, but fans going to the game tonight want to watch Mitch Marner continue the streak.
We will talk about Mitch Marner and the streak, the Maple Leaf streak, and his own individual streak at 7:45 when Mike Johnson joins us for Leafs Breakfast. James Duthie, in his return from Qatar, he's back in Ontario, probably hosting the Leafs panel tonight on TSN.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
JD will join us at 8:10. Ed Werder, big one tonight for you and I in our picks pool. Mm-hmm. Do we take the Raiders? I think the answer is probably yes. Minus
bad
the six
news in the NFL
and a half point
for my Billies.
And yes, I didn't want to bring up Von Miller's ACL. I'm very sorry about that.
That's a tough loss.
Yes, that's a big one. We'll get into that with Ed Werder. And speaking of ACLs, will Odell Beckham Jr.'s ACL be ready to rock for some point this season? Ed has been reporting on that a lot, and we'll ask him about that at 8:30. How about Steve Francis joining us at 9:15? One of my favorite players of all time. Stevie Franchise.
Why?
Steve Francis. The guy was awesome. He was electric. Such a great athlete. Coming
didn't play
Maryland.
For the Grizzlies, though.
So he did not play for the Grizzlies, and that is part of the reason he will be on our show, because there's a documentary that's being screened on Saturday night. I will be in attendance. Looking forward to that.
No way.
It's called The Grizzly Truth. You want to come? I'm sure we can get
you
a ticket.
Not Saturday night. I got to work.
Okay. So it's called The Grizzly Truth, and it documents how and why the Vancouver Grizzlies left the city
Vancouver.
After just 6 years. Six years. 95 to 2001. And Steve Francis, at least according to some people, was a big part of that because he didn't have any interest in suiting up
there.
In Vancouver.
Big Country Reeves.
Yeah. Of course,
first
Michael Dickerson, Mike Bibby, Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Yes.
I liked the Vancouver Grizzlies back in the
day. Okay, the question I have, I know they left. Would Vancouver still welcome an NBA team?
Oh, they would love an NBA team. I don't know if the NBA's got Seattle, they've got Las Vegas. Those are the next two teams that are going to those cities. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, when there's 34, 36 teams, another Canadian city could get in there.
Yeah, we don't want Vancouver. We want Toronto to be the only team.
And I'm sure Montreal would love a team as well. Don't get them mistaken. Whenever the Raptors are there for any type of preseason, very strong turnout. So we'll fill you in on the first up scoreboard on the other side. Maybe tell you what happened yesterday in MLB free agency, where more than $2 billion
ridiculous
has already been spent. More first up.
It's
Karolnik.
Ridiculous.
It's Kolejakovo, and it's a good time here on TSN 1050.
We are giving away a pair of Raptors tickets. Listen to each hour of the First Up podcast for a clue to the identity of a former or current Raptors player. And once you have all the clues and you know the identity of the player, you'll have until the end of the day to enter at tsn1050.ca for your chance to win the tickets. Here is your clue. Here is our first clue for the Reveal That Raptor contest. This Raptor played for six teams over the course of his NBA career.
All right, First Up scoreboard. Let's take a look at the NHL slate last night. Sabres, as we talked about, big night from Tage Thompson with
you.
A six-point night, including five goals, four of those goals. In the first 16 minutes of the game, they beat the Blue Jackets 9-4. The Capitals, with two goals from Alexander Ovechkin, beat the Flyers 4-1.
Those two goals, empty netters, not well received by Travis Konechny, who got in Ovechkin's face. Had a little bit of a brawl.
He's completely such a pigeon. Like,
Ovechkin's a pigeon for scoring those goals.
What are you supposed to do if you're Ovechkin? Like, not score those goals?
Yes,
the guy scores goals for a living.
I know, I'm just kidding. But
he's
Ovechkin,
99.
I was going to say.
Away from Gretzky.
99.
Right now.
And look at Ovechkin, man. Yeah. The guy has 15 goals, albeit those were two empty netters last night.
Yeah.
The second one with 9 seconds left. He's got 15. He's on pace for, it's got to be close to 50.
Oh, yeah. He's scoring 50 this year.
He is the NHL. He and Sidney Crosby, who's also, Sidney Crosby got 35 points this year.
Yeah.
Having a huge year.
How many?
Unbelievable how these guys are playing.
How many guys finish with 100 points this year?
I think it'll be probably close to 10.
But I'm going to say close to 15. How many guys finish with 50 goals this year?
People need to stay healthy. That's another part of the equation. It's hard to stay healthy in the NHL. 50 goals.
There's going to be at least five, I think.
50 goals. So I think McDavid does it. I think Jason Robertson does it. I think Austin Matthews does it. I don't think there'll be
Austin
five.
Austin Matthews.
I don't think Bo Horvat does it. Pasternak, maybe.
Tage Thompson?
I don't think
Pasternak
scores
50.
Dreisaitl, maybe. Kaprizov, maybe. I think there's going to be three 50-goal scorers.
All
Matthews,
right.
McDavid, Robertson.
All right. Well, Pasternak, he was on the board yesterday. The Bruins blanked the AHL Colorado Avalanche right now. Wow.
Don't insult the American Hockey League like that.
Yeesh. The Flames, big 5-3 winners against the Minnesota Wild. They continue their win streak. The Oilers put up an 8 spot, a Koliakovo 8 spot, or an Ovechkin 8 spot.
Or a snowman.
Or a snowman.
That's something you're very familiar with. On the golf course. No, you're like, oh, no, double bogey max.
That's a max.
Double bogey max.
My handicap doesn't allow me to put it on my scorecard.
That's why Duthie chirps us right
there. Rangers get a big win in Vegas, 5-1, and Vegas playing without Jack Eichel and Alex Pietrangelo, and it was revealed yesterday that Alex Pietrangelo will be stepping away from the team indefinitely while he deals with a family issue. All the best to him and his family. Prayers to them. And the Vancouver Canucks win again in overtime. And a goal again by Elias Pettersson to beat the Sharks 6-5. 57 goals scored in the NHL yesterday in seven games. What a slate.
I almost think this is the worst possible situation for Vancouver, who, like, they got to trade Bo Horvat, right? He's got 20 goals this year.
Yeah.
And Vancouver is on the precipice of being right back in the playoffs right now. They are 2 points behind Calgary for the final wild card spot in the West. So, do I think Seattle will keep it up? They're 15-7-3. I don't. Like, the LA Kings, I think they'll probably fall off as well. I think Winnipeg is probably for real. I think Dallas is for real. I think Edmonton and Calgary will get in.
Yeah.
And I think Colorado probably gets in, but their injury woes are just unprecedented right now. Vancouver, I think the worst thing they could be is in that murky middle where, all right, should we trade Luke Shen? Should we trade Bo Horvat? Or should we go for a playoff run?
And yeah,
my thinking is it probably should be the former.
Well, I think the bright side in all this is that your players that you potentially want to trade are probably increasing their value with the way they're playing, right?
So
that's a bright side in all this. So in other news, Mitch Marner goes for 21 tonight against the LA Kings as the Maple Leafs welcome the LA Kings to town. And in baseball news, we broke it yesterday on our show with Brian Hayes. Aaron Judge agrees to a 9-year, $360 million, $40 million a year. Talk about the ultimate bet on yourself contract. The Padres signs 30-year-old Xander Bogaerts to an 11-year contract. What the hell is going on, AK?
Well, I don't know. San Diego, they have money to burn, and they were ready to give a lot of money to Aaron Judge. He chose the Yankees over them. But, like, are the Toronto Blue Jays going to make any moves? Or because you saw who signed with Boston yesterday.
Yeah, your boy Yoshida.
My boy Yoshida. I was so pissed off. I had my Yoshida jersey ready to be purchased. It was in the cart on TorontoBlueJays.com. Now he's a Boston Red Sox, which really sucks. They got Kenley Jansen as well. Boston making some moves. The Jays are going to sign someone sometime soon,
right? Or trade for somebody.
Or trade for someone. My sources talked to some people yesterday. Brandon Nimmo, not likely to be a Toronto Blue Jay.
I don't want them to spend money on Brandon Nimmo. Go to Brian Reynolds. He's a cost-effective guy. He'll fit your outfield position.
Well, and he's cost-effective, but you have to trade something for him. Nimmo's a free agent. So.
Yeah, but you want to pay Nimmo $25 million a year?
I don't know if he's getting that type of ticket, but
well, maybe. Bogart's got $280 million over 11 years, so a lot of good free agents still out there, and baseball will probably continue to make news today and spending a ton of money still.
Yeah. Phillips will join us at 9:30.
How
this
horny
morning
do you think Steve Phillips would be if he had a GM position right now where he had an open checkbook?
Yes. I think Steve Phillips would be very horny for that. I think any general manager would like that. And that's why being an MLB GM is the greatest. You're like, I think about Kyle Dubas every day and him and his team.
Like, hey, guys,
look at the formulaic equation we need to come up with. That's my Kyle Dubas impersonation, apparently. But it's just a result of that hard salary cap they have in the NHL, the MLB. And that's why Aaron Judge and Xander Bogaerts are getting these massive deals, right? I mean, if this was a salary cap sport, like, you know, the Yankees, they have money to burn. What do they care? You know, they could just sell the naming rights to Yankee Stadium and pay for the entire Aaron Judge contract in one fell swoop. So if that's what they wanted to do, then they could. But, I mean, as far as what teams are paying these players, I mean, it is seemingly outrageous. But, I mean, that's good times. That's intrigue. That brings interest to the sport, and it's a good thing. As opposed to the NHL, where we're talking about, you know, bridge deals and
pennies.
Exactly. With regards to the NBA last night, LeBron James, Anthony Davis in town to play the Toronto Raptors. Neither of whom played. The Raptors just throttled the Lakers in a game that was never and should never be close. I will say that game opened, I think the Lakers were 7.5-point underdogs, and I think closed 12.5.
So the Raptors covered. They won by 13.
Did they win by 13 in the end? Yeah. Well, that must have been a sweat at the end. I heard Hayes on overdrive on his FanDuel best bets. Like, I'm taking the Raptors minus 12.5. They're going to crush the Lakers. Yeah. And they did. And I guess I didn't watch the final seconds of that game, but it looked like it was very close.
Well, the Raptors were outscored by 9 points in the fourth quarter, so probably justifies why it's a lot closer. And the Pelicans beat the Pistons.
I think they have the best record in the West now.
They are the top seed in the Western Conference right now. The New Orleans Pelicans. Craziness.
Who saw that coming?
The Jazz beat the Warriors by 1 point, 124-123. They move into the top four in the Western Conference as well, too. And the Celtics lay a beating.
That team's
on
nasty.
The Phoenix Suns in Phoenix. They won by 27 points. At one point, they're up by 45 points in that game. Craziness. What's going on in the NBA?
Nice. I did have Giannis over 30.5 points last night. He scored 35. My guy Giannis on Antetokounmpo.
My cousin had a same game parlay with the Raptors. A 5-game same game parlay. All 4 of his plays came in, and his last play was Scottie Barnes over 13.5 points.
What, did he finish 12?
Finished with 13.
Oh, no.
He finished with 13.
Oh, no.
But Scottie Barnes had 17 rebounds.
Yeah, he was a machine last night on the glass. And, well, that's a tough one. When you lose by the 1 point, it's never a positive thing at any point in time. Anyways, we've got a jam-packed edition
here. That's
our
scoreboard.
That is the First Up scoreboard. Would you rather, coming up in about 20 minutes' time, we'll welcome in producer Chris Horvat for that. Bet and breakfast. Break down the offerings on FanDuel with regards to Mitch Marner's point streak. That's up at 7:30. Mike Johnson will join us. James Duthie, Ed Werder, Steve Francis, Steve Phillips. My goodness, what a lineup. What a show.
Steve's.
Hour 2 of First Up begins after this.